We're going to be focusing on Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Actually, the whole book of Deuteronomy, as we mentioned a moment ago, in that book, Moses is preparing the people of Israel to go into the promised land. And he prepares them by basically giving a full review of the law of God and how God would have his people live in that land that he's going to give them. He's teaching them to walk before the face of God. Moses gives a recap, for example, of the Ten Commandments and many other laws. But then towards the end of the book, Moses, in a sense, the closest thing that we'd associate with, Moses becomes much like a motivational speaker. He prepares the people of Israel with these rallying cries and these calls to courage and to action and especially to faith in the Lord God, because Moses knew they were about to face enemies, fearsome enemies. If you remember the story, the event of the spies, the 12 spies who go into the land of Israel and they spy it out. The people of Israel at that time, they heard the reports and they shrank back. They heard that there were large armies and giants even in that land. And now Moses, he's preparing them to face those fears. And his basic call is, trust the Lord, you have nothing to fear. And that command to Israel, be strong and courageous in that fearful situation of facing the Canaanites, it's not actually so different than what we face as Christians. We certainly seek a spiritual kingdom, our warfare, our fight. It's not of this world. But we also face a fight. And if you come to the New Testament, you could see similar calls to trust in the Lord and to not be afraid, to not be fearful. We'll look at some of them in the later part of the sermon, that we also should not be afraid. You see, we live in a time when it's all too easy for some of us to get fearful. The church seems to be declining, at least in numbers. There's the growing intolerance of the Bible. Even right now, it seems in our land, every month or so, there's a new law passed, whether it's in the federal government or provincially. There's these new laws that are coming in month after month, another one, a new policy enacted. And it seems to put us into a tighter and a tighter place where we could start worrying about the future. And there are many other fears we might face. Fears about our family in a world like this. Fears about health or other trials or temptations. Fears about finances. Or simply, some people struggle with an undefined fear of the future. Each day may seem like a battle. And though our battles as Christians are not so literal as facing the Canaanites, this same call is true for us today, and it's no less real. We're to be prepared for battle, and we're to do so without fear because it's the Lord who goes before us and with us. We're going to look at this under the theme, preparing for battle. First, we'll look at dealing with our fear, dealing with fear. Second, following our leader. And third, being strong and courageous and what that means throughout the scriptures. Well, first, the call to deal with our fears. Though the literal enemy of the Israelites at this time, it was Canaan, Moses knew that before they faced that enemy, they needed to deal with a deeper problem related to fear. You see, they could make that same mistake as the time with the spies, and they could see how physically large and intimidating. They could look at the walls of cities like Jericho, and they could slip into fear. But what Moses is teaching them is actually that fear, in a sense, can become the real enemy. We must be aware that who we fear begins to become an object of our worship. There is a deeper issue of idolatry that Moses is dealing with in those verses that we read. You see, their enemies and the idols of their enemies, they could take a place that was so big in the minds of the Israelites that there could be almost a reverence, almost an awe in their hearts, a fear of the enemy that became a worship. And that eventually leads to slavery. And there's a sense in these verses that we read, that Israel could choose between the fear of God and the fear of Canaan, the worship of God and the worship of the Canaanites' gods. And the same danger, it exists for us today. You see, we as Christians, we can become so intimidated by the power and the strength of governments or education systems or perhaps the media. And we can get this fear and this pragmatism that really makes us their slaves. It causes us to compromise, to fail to take stands, to fail to speak the word of God. And the great danger for Israel was that the Canaanites and their gods got so big that really they slipped from trusting the Lord God and they became slaves. We cannot forget how much worship is related to fear. Who you fear, you begin to worship. That's why the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, Matthew 10:27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, Moses puts this warfare and this scene, he puts it in the context of fear, which he understands is related to worship. Moses understood, as any commander does, that fear within, fear of the enemy, must be conquered before entering the battle. You can see this in any stereotypical war movie, or you read a book or a biography of a great military leader. You know that there's always going to be that scene, that stereotypical one where a passionate speech is given and where that leader in that key moment, he convinces his soldiers to rally against all odds, to conquer their fears, and then they're ready to face the enemy. And in order to face warfare here, the Israelites, they had to conquer first their fears. They had to decide in faith. Obviously, now we know that's by the work of the Holy Spirit, but we're being called here to be strong and courageous, to stand against the enemy and to examine who is it that you are worshiping? Who do you ultimately fear? As Israel was tested in the wilderness for 40 years, they often found out again and again they were their worst enemies when they gave in to fear. They stumbled. They wandered. They needed to be brought back into line again and again. They fell into fear of hunger, fear of thirst, fear of enemies, fear of losing out, of trials and of temptations. And the Lord mercifully and the Lord graciously, even through the thunder and the lightning at Sinai, and through His law, He was teaching them there's only one good fear. That's the true fear of God. That's a holy reverence. But fearfulness on this earth is actually a sign of a very poor spiritual condition. Fearfulness and cowardice, that's not acceptable for a Christian. Actually, did you know that in Revelation 21 verse 8, there's this list of horrible sins. And those are the ones, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with brimstone and fire, which is the second death. And the first ones in that list are the cowardly and the unbelieving. And then the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. And what Moses is dealing with here is unbelief and cowardliness. And he's saying that's no small thing. In the New Testament, it reinforces this again and again. Cowardliness and unbelief, they're the opposite of the faith that we're called to. They show how small God has become to us. This command, do not be afraid, it's actually the most common command in the Bible. And the mark of a true believer who's fighting for the right side and who has the right enemy in their sights is that their fear is continually being cast out. Now, the Bible, of course, wouldn't have to remind us of this again and again if it was not a real problem, an ongoing problem for Christians. But we need to be reminded that we're not to be a fearful people when it comes through this world. That fear has been cast out. 1 John 4:18-19. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because He first loves us. And you see, it's in knowing the love of the Lord God and knowing the love of the Savior that we begin to understand what fear we need not fear at all. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the terrible, the fearful cross. And in trusting Him, we need not fear at all. In believing in that empty tomb, that He has conquered death, that the Savior has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, there is no place for fear. The terror of the condemned sinner in Christ is replaced by indeed a reverence, a true fear of God, and a holy desire to fight the good fight of faith. And that's where Moses goes next. He calls them to follow their leader. To follow their leader. And their leader ultimately is the Lord God. We're looking at that now. Secondly, the call to follow their leader. For over 40 years now, the people of Israel had had this leader, Moses, at their head. He'd safely guided them. He'd become a giant in their eyes. But now, as Moses is about to die, he passes on, he delivers Deuteronomy, this kind of a last sermon, and he's preparing these people for this time when he's not going to be around anymore. Moses wouldn't lead them into the promised land. Verse 1 and 2, the Lord would not allow him. And now, even though Joshua will take over, and there is a pointing to Joshua, humanly speaking, Moses first turns their attention, and most importantly, he turns their attention that their leader will not be human, but it will be the Lord God Himself. For the Lord your God, He's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. When we understand those words, and when they understood those words, there was absolutely no reason left for fear. Actually, it goes back all the way to verse 3. The Lord crosses over before you. There's this emphasis in these verses that the Lord, much more than another man walking among them, but the Lord, the phrases are very intimate that Moses uses. It's a picture as if the Lord God Himself is verse 3, literally, if you take it literally, He's going before their face. He's between them and the enemy. Verse 6, when they heard, He goes with you, literally, it's He walks with you. He will not leave you, verse 6. He won't let His hand drop. He will not forsake you. He won't abandon or divorce you. There's this reassuring picture that the Lord, almost like a family member, who led each family, but so much more, of course. Moses is reassuring the people, you have nothing to fear. The Lord God personally will be with you. He will part the Jordan. He will fight their battles. There's nothing to fear. You see, that literal promise and that literal picture of going into battle for the Israelites, it has a much more close and a personal fulfillment for us. We know in the New Testament church, Moses is basically saying, Emmanuel will go with you, God with us. He's walked among, He's experienced life and death, and we know, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of this. He abides with us. He's walked with us, and He's fought the good fight before us. He's given His life for His sheep. He knows and He understands every one of our trials and our temptations. You see, Moses, really, he's preaching the gospel to his people here. He's saying the Lord Himself will go with you and will fight your battles for you. He will conquer. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. Death has lost its sting, and even more. We think of God with us. The Lord Jesus promised His disciples, I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. See, Moses, he knew this danger. The Israelites, they might get discouraged. And the main hope he points to them is God Himself goes before you. And we need to remember the same today, no matter what trial you face. Sickness, we battle. Even if we were imprisoned or homeless or penniless, a Christian has nothing to fear. The Lord is with us. We need not fear losing everything. We need not even fear losing homes, even losing families. The Lord is with you. He's been tempted. He's interceding for you. It's often trials, actually, that are the proving ground for that, that show us that the Lord is indeed with us. There's nothing to fear. And so that's Moses' first great hope. It's a gospel hope. Don't be afraid because the Lord is going with you. And we have that same hope even more clear today. Moses gives a second hope for Israel. Joshua would take over for him. Now, Joshua was a man that Moses actually gave him his name in Numbers 3:16. Jehovah saves is what his name means. The interesting thing is Joshua's name is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. Joshua was a man who communed with God, who loved God. Numbers 27, verse 18, he was a spirit-filled man. At the end of the book of Joshua, you find out, actually, that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. It's very much a high point in the Old Testament of a faithful leader. He leads them out of the wilderness, across the Jordan River, and they get this picture of rest in the promised land. Joshua, humanly speaking, is one of the great leaders of the Old Testament. He's one of the leaders who truly leads the people to walk with their God. But as Hebrews 4 verse 8 says, Joshua could not give them rest. He gave them a land to live in. They settled. They had rest from their wandering. But Hebrews 4 verse 8 points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and says it's Christ who provides eternal, perfect rest. The very opposite of fear. It's Christ who invites, come to me, all you labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you see the gospel pictures here in Deuteronomy. The people of Israel, they stood on the edge of the promised land and they had every human reason to fear. There's a river rushing between them. On the other side, there's these cities with high walls, fortified cities, and there's these giants, and there's all the rumors about their chariots and their power. Imagine that feeling that our parents or our grandparents would have had, many of them who were in Europe facing German planes and German bombs. It would have been so terrifying to stand there, to go into battle. But Moses, you see, the hope that he offers them and the reason not to fear is the Lord is with you. He's given him, and the Lord's given this godly man, Joshua, to prove Jehovah saves. And so you see, here's the answer to facing our age and our day and what lies ahead and the trials and the temptations of life. It's to have the same thing that the Israelites had, which is that the Lord is with us. And the question must be asked, if you struggle with fear, is that, have you learned that faith is the opposite? It's a time that's somewhat fearful. The world seems to be headed in a direction we don't like. We can see the battles coming ahead of us. But we must be looking in faith to the cross of Christ and to that empty tomb and even up to our flesh in heaven, as the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, that He's there at the right hand of God the Father, trusting that He is with us by His Holy Spirit, and He's in the place of all power with nothing for us to fear. And so we have every reason to be strong and courageous. Now we'll look at that thirdly. What does it mean more practically and throughout the New Testament to be strong and courageous? This is certainly a topic that comes up again and again in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus, He's often trying to lift up and to spur His disciples to be strong and to be courageous. Another parallel is in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Apostle Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Part of that he's saying, be an adult, be strong, be like a man, but it's really a military picture. Apostle Paul is saying, be ready to stand in this spiritual warfare. Don't be a child, don't be weak-willed. Stand up, hold tight to the Word of God. A New Testament word for stand firm in the faith. And the words for courageous, there's a picture of being like a buttress, like a wall that doesn't budge, doesn't crumble, it doesn't bow and bend. The courage to stand firm means that a Christian, they're not easily blown over. Their faith is founded on that rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing to fear. The New Testament picture is founded on Christ as our rock. There's nothing to fear. Be strong and courageous. And this encouragement formula that's in the Old Testament, The prophets bring it up again and again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Each time it comes with these two sides. Be strong and courageous because the Lord goes with you. Doesn't just say be brave for bravery's sake. No, Christ's foundational work is underneath. There's an ability to stand firm. Now, understanding that we begin with our faith in Jesus Christ and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, let's look at a few areas where we need to be prepared to be strong and courageous. Now, the fact that this command, it's repeated again and again in the Bible, different contexts, different ways, it shows us that there's really a battle of the mind, a battle of the soul, a battle of the heart. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 is one place where the Apostle Paul, he calls Timothy to be, or he teaches Timothy there, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. See, there's a picture there. There's this temptation for a young man like Timothy to cave into fear. And the Apostle Paul is saying, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power and a sound mind. If we're not going to be given in to fear and taken over by fear, we must learn to fight this battle in our mind. We must learn not to give in to those fears or entertain those fears. And perhaps you hear the latest story in the media about the latest law that our government's trying to pass, or you hear about war in some far-off place, and depending on your personality, maybe that begins to churn through your mind and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and the fears multiply. Or you begin to worry about what might go wrong in your home life that afternoon, and the fear and the worry, it begins to multiply and multiply. Well, the Lord has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We must fight this battle of our thoughts, not giving in to fearful thoughts, banishing them. Romans 8 verse 15, it gives us a picture there. Romans 8 verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There should be a spirit within us, a way of thinking that trusts that we need not fear. We've been adopted in Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear. That also means, secondly, that we need to have the courage to stand. So first we begin with our thought patterns. And when fears come, not entertaining them, but banishing them, saying, my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it also means standing firm against temptations to sin. The devil seeks to reel us in. But we must resist the devil and he will flee from us. Recently we looked at the armor of God, spiritual warfare. That command there was much like, actually, Moses' command in the Old Testament. Be strong in the Lord. In the strength of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It's really saying a very similar thing, to be strong and courageous. It takes a certain courage to say no to Satan, and to say no, and to swim against the rest of the, to swim upstream, so to speak. It takes a certain courage. The call is, be strong and courageous. Resist the devil. Don't go with him. Call sin, sin. Have the courage to stand against what others may accept. John 15, the Lord Jesus says, the world hated him. We can expect, if we stand for righteousness, the world will hate us. Perhaps even some in the church, as their consciences are smitten, they may also make us uncomfortable, but we must not fear. We must be holy. We must stand in calling sin, sin, and being a pure and a holy people. It will be difficult, but we should have no fear in that. That again, it goes back to our thoughts. Whatever things are true and noble and lovely, you think of Philippians 4 verse 8, we need to meditate on our thoughts, on those things. But it takes a courage to draw lines and to be holy, to draw boundaries in life that will bother other people. If we say no to certain kinds of entertainment or going to certain places, that takes a certain courage. Others may look down on us, but we need to do so. So we need to take courage in our thought life, but also in standing against sin. But we can also take courage and must take courage in other trials and temptations of life. Even in things as practical as our finances, we have nothing to fear. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. Now, it's a verse about what we have in our life and what we deal with. But it actually, when they talk about the encouragement formula in the Bible, you notice that it's the same formula. A plus B equals C. It's the same thing. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is with me. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? Be content with what things you have. That takes a certain courage. And that's not only a courage when you go through a time of struggling financially. Being content with what you have may actually take courage to stand as a Christian when you have a lot. When there's a time of materialism and you decide as a Christian, no, we don't need to live like the Joneses. We need to be content, perhaps driving this certain vehicle or living at this certain standard because there's better things to do with our money. That also takes a certain strength and a certain courage to fight the fight of faith. There's also being courageous, knowing that the Lord is with us in trials, sickness, depression, family struggles. Reminded of Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle you. It's the same picture again. Don't be afraid, for I will be with you, the Lord says to his children. If you search through the scriptures, you find this formula again and again. Whether it's in times of sickness or of persecution or of temptation, whether it's in different trials, there's no reason to fear, for the Lord is with you. Ultimately, for the Lord will give you his kingdom. Luke 12, 32, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, in conclusion, under Moses, Israel was facing literal enemies. The odds were all against them. They were going to face an enemy that, humanly speaking, they wouldn't be able to beat. These entrenched cities, these mountain people, these giants. And they were taught, you have nothing to fear when the Lord your God goes with you. And here we are, as a church and as believers, not fighting for a literal kingdom, but for a spiritual kingdom that's not of this world. And the call needs to be, don't give in to fear. Same promise is for God's people today. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen.